grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 8. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." As we worship on this Lord's Day, we find ourselves in the middle of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, which means the revealing, the unveiling, the showing forth of the child born of Mary as God and Savior of the whole world. Because the wise men who came to worship him were not Jews but Gentiles, and so their coming to worship him is a fulfillment of the prophecies which spoke of one who would come to be the Savior not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles, of all nations, as we hear in the prophet Isaiah's words, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." But though the coming of the wise men was a fulfillment of prophecy, it was only the beginning of the story. And so on this third Sunday of the Epiphany season, we hear about another Gentile who came to worship the Lord, a Roman centurion who comes to Jesus in great distress, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." This centurion knew his need, and he had faith that the Lord Jesus could help him in his distress. He speaks to Jesus with great simplicity. You might even say that he was a person who understood what we have learned through the Catechism when Dr. Luther instructs us concerning the meaning of those first words of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven." With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Yes, this Roman centurion speaks to Jesus with great simplicity. "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus himself then replies with great simplicity, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion objects, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed, for I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Centurion knows that he himself is a man with authority. His word is obeyed. And the centurion believes that Jesus is one with authority, whose word must, like his, be obeyed. Jesus' word is a word of God who, in the beginning of all things, said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, it is done. St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus hears these words of the centurion, only say the word and my servant will be healed. These words of simple faith, Jesus marvels and says to him, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And his servant was healed at that very moment. This story of the Roman centurion and his servant comes right after our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which begins with those very familiar words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And who are the poor in spirit? The poor in spirit are those who know their complete dependence on God, their Maker and Redeemer. The poor in spirit know that they have no claim on God, but are completely dependent on his mercy. This centurion is one who is poor in spirit and prays, Lord, I am not worthy. The poor in spirit look only to God and know that God will give them not all they want, but will surely give them all they need. This Roman centurion was just one who was poor in spirit. And we hear about so many such poor ones in Holy Scripture. We think of our Lord's mother, with the word of God spoken through the Archangel Gabriel, who replied, let it be to me according to your word. Apart from Jesus, we are poor indeed. By our sin, cut off from God and banished from his presence. And what a vivid picture of that truth is the picture of our first parents, driven from paradise, whose gate is then barred by an angel and a flaming sword. But thank God and bless his holy name for his mercy extended to us in Jesus, who stretched out his arms on the cross to bring the whole sinful world, both Jew and Gentile, back to himself, opening paradise, as we sing in one of our Christmas hymns. He opens us again the door of paradise today. The angel guards the gate no more. To God our thanks we pay. Cleansed in the waters of holy baptism, we have been made partakers of forgiveness of sins and have been sealed as heirs of eternal life. In the Old Testament lesson this morning, We heard of how Naaman the Syrian, yet another Gentile, was cleansed from leprosy in the waters of the Jordan River. A vivid picture which foreshadows baptismal cleansing from sin. We do not cleanse ourselves. Christ cleanses us in the saving baptismal waters. And so we look only to Christ and his word of promise. Faith is simple trust in him, in his promises. Our own feelings come and go. Sometimes we find ourselves joyful and certain of God's love. But other times, we find ourselves terribly discouraged, even wondering if it can all be true. And under those circumstances, it's no use looking at our poor, frail, inconstant selves. Our gaze must be turned from ourselves to Christ and his cross, to what you might call the having happenedness of our baptism into his saving death, and to Christ's gift of his saving body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. In fact, in coming to the altar, we can and we should pray like that Roman centurion: Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.